Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
And my name is Peter, full stop.
Ashton has plops.
She's got plops.
She has got the plops.
She's got the bad pandemic plops, actually.
COVID plop teen.
Yeah.
Plopvid.
Yeah. So we're thinking of her. And we're thinking of everyone else in the office who's got COVID.
Yes. We're going to start off by talking about the amazing summer party that happened last week, which was genuinely an awful lot of fun.
Yeah.
We had all sorts of stuff going on. We'll talk about that in a second. But in the aftermath, as of the time of recording this podcast, which is Wednesday morning, three people have tested positive for COVID.
Yeah.
Two of which are on our team, one of which is meant to be on this podcast, the other of which is meant to edit this podcast.
Yes.
And also, I shared a room with that person as well, that being Kieran.
Yeah.
Currently, I do not have COVID, but I go on holiday in the early hours of tomorrow morning, and I swear to God, if I come down with COVID, I'm going to be very cross.
Yeah. Kieran was also, he didn't know at the time, he felt fine on Monday, but he was in on Monday and sits directly across from me.
Mm-hmm.
So I could have COVID.
Blasting particles at you.
Yeah, you might not have COVID yet, but I could be giving it to you right now.
We are in an enclosed space. This is probably not advisable for us both to be here, any of us, but there we are.
I'll be testing tonight. It's sort of become apparent today that, okay, it's not just an isolated case where one person in the office might have it. It's like, maybe we've all got it, so
yeah.
I'll be testing at my earliest convenience.
But it was fun up until that point when people started to feel bad. We all took a half day on Friday. Mm-hmm. We got on a bus, like a proper school trip.
Yeah.
Got on a big bus to Whitley Bay, which is a seaside town near where we work.
Yeah.
Half of us went and did an escape room.
Mm.
The other half went and did foot golf, which I'm sure was rubbish because the escape room was great.
It was. It was very warm and clammy.
So warm.
But fortunately, we weren't at the moment, as far as we know, we weren't locked in there with anyone who has tested positive for COVID yet.
That's true. Neither Ashton nor Kieran were in there. So that's something. It was a pirate-themed escape room. Mutiny, yeah. Something or other. Had to solve various pirate clues to escape a sinking ship that we were in. And I suppose the temperature was appropriate because it was in the loft, or at least the top floor of a building in a very, very warm day. And it was pretty unbearable in there.
There was a small fan that was just collapsing in the heat, and a fan that was just sort of blowing hot air around the room, keeping us maximum hot.
So we were escaping for multiple reasons.
Yeah.
Then we all got back, and there was a barbecue that was attempted before it started to rain. So Ashton was a superstar and cooked loads of stuff on the hob in the caravans that we were staying in.
Adam cooked even more than Ashton did.
Did he?
Yeah. Oh, he cooked loads of stuff. Yeah.
Wow. And he was pissed.
Yeah.
Like, he was so drunk by that point.
And it was all gas cookers as well. So it for a while, because we had an issue with our cooker as well. We couldn't get it to light. And people were just like turning it on, like trying to get, and it was going like,
this is going to explode.
Just gas hissing. You could smell it. Like, this is maybe one of the people who's not drinking, i.e. me, should be trying to get the oven on rather than other people. But hey, look, we all lived.
We all lived. And then it was time to go over to the entertainment complex of the caravan park we were staying at for some karaoke and to watch other people do karaoke. And I must say, the Cultaholic Triple Jump crowd dominated karaoke all night.
Yeah.
Nobody, I think there were maybe two or three, you could count on one hand, the other people attending the resort who'd had a go at karaoke. Mm-hmm. And apart from that, it was wall to wall, Cultaholic and Triple Jump staff who were wailing away.
Yeah, like cats.
Yes. Adam had a go, but he went by the stage name Jamal for some reason, which none of us knew until he stood up and went, "Way!" And he had a good sing.
Yeah.
I must say, Andrew Hodkinson from Cultaholic did a fantastic rendition of Rollin', that being Limp Bizkit. There may be some videos on the internet. But we want to shine a spotlight on our very own James Jenkins.
A special boy.
Who not only did Limp Bizkit, but he went all the way in.
He sure did.
He really tried very, very hard. And we're going to play a little bit of audio from it because we do have access to that.
It's mostly just Adam Pacitti drunkenly cackling in the background, having a really good time watching James Jenkins' excellent rendition.
Let's see if we can get this to play, if it's going to work. It was working a minute ago, and now it's not going to work, of course, which is, you know, sod's law, I believe is what they call it.
Sod.
Is it going to work now? This is James Jenkins singing My Generation by Limp Bizkit. It's a little way into the performance. I'm going to have to reopen the app because it's now stopped working.
Yeah, that's fine. Much like Ashton Matthews, it stopped working for the foreseeable. Mm-hmm. So you will have noticed that she wasn't there at the joint stream this week.
Yeah.
Not sure when she'll be back. I guess people will be back when they're testing negative or maybe 10 days after their first positive test. Not sure. But so just keep an eye on our social media going forward to see who will be solo streaming as and when and who's going to be at joint streams, if they even happen. Don't even know if it happened, the joint stream this week.
No, not entirely sure.
No.
Because you might have come down with COVID.
By the time it's time for the joint stream releases.
James might be out with COVID as well. I don't know who's editing this. I'm now attempting to download the video because it's not actually wanting to play anymore. Despite the fact that it did.
It did.
Just before we started recording.
I did my best to fill there. But
you did a great job.
Thanks.
The speed at which it is downloading is not very fast.
Okay. Maybe we'll have to have an update. We'll have to go back to karaoke halfway through the podcast.
We'll have to have a karaoke break halfway through. I'm going to lock my phone and it's probably going to just suddenly, it's just going to go, my generation, just out of the corner of the room. But of course, we're not sponsored by the summer party, which is slowly killing our team here at Cultaholic and Triple Jump. We're sponsored by a very real sponsor each and every week that helps us keep the lights on here. It's actually Ashton's turn, is what it says. But she's not here. So instead, what we're going to do is take a moment to be quite sincere, if you will allow us.
Yeah.
And say that all this week you may have seen on social media that we are streaming in aid of Planned Parenthood Federation of America in light of recent events. If you go to bit.ly/TJCharity, and TJ Charity is in all caps. There'll also be a link in the description if you want to follow it there. You can donate. All the money goes directly to Planned Parenthood. If you're watching the live streams, we're not going to be taking any super chats or bits and so on and so forth or donations. It's all just bit.ly/TJCharity, raising money for Planned Parenthood. So if you can afford to give, please do, because it's a very, very worthwhile cause at the moment.
Yeah, the plan was to have everyone solo stream and the joint stream be raising money for charity. You managed to do yours.
I've done mine, so we got one in the books.
We hadn't got it set up when it was mine, so I'm hopefully doing mine this coming Monday after the podcast comes out, if I'm still kicking. Ashton is away this week and might be, well, we don't know when. Anyway, it's the plan was to do five and we're just going to see how many we're able to do.
We're going to do as many as we can, but do bear in mind that you don't need to be watching a live stream to donate. You can do it at any point.
That's right.
So do check that out if you are in a position to do so. Before we move on to question one, it's downloaded 1.8 megabytes. Come on. Oh,
it worked before.
Oh, I pressed play and it looked like it was going to work, but now it's not. I don't know what to do.
I could just try it on my app.
Yeah, maybe try it on yours, because I got four bars of 4G and it worked a minute ago and now it's not working.
You're not on the Wi-Fi?
Not in here, no. Not on this Wiffle. I thought 4G would be enough. And quite frankly, the Wi-Fi in this office is at best spotty.
Oh. It's so good.
It's really, really good. The best part is that my generation, he missed the first one right at the start. He wasn't ready for it. So it was just sort of, it faded out halfway through and he was slightly off time. And it was just one of the funniest performances I've ever seen. He put his whole karaoke-ussy into it.
His James Jussie.
Yeah, he put his whole Jenkins-ussy into it. And it was hysterical. Mm-hmm. And it was also full of swear words. And there were a lot of kids around.
Yeah.
As was Roland, actually. Mm. But for some reason, it censored. It had Flip in it several times.
Yeah.
And the lyrics, when it came up on screen, it censored those. It said F and then asterisks. But the S word was fine. Ship.
Yeah.
You can say ship all you want,
well,
but you can't
say
flip.
So yes. They're used to it, I think.
So he had to keep self-censoring, but he didn't do it by replacing the word. He'd just go, shh. He'd just like fade himself down. Oh, it was brilliant. It was so good. I'll see if James is proud enough of that to tweet that out.
Right.
Because the footage should go online because it was a hell of a performance, mm-hmm. I think.
Certainly was.
There we are. It's time for question one, Peter.
Yep, it's from Trevor Price. That's Trevor Price. Dun, dun. I'd say that every time. Mm. Hi, Pab. Well, it's just PB.
It's
today.
Just Pa. No, Pub. That's still not right.
I am a full-time chef and often do around 70 to 80 hours in my role. Often in my industry, chefs who admit to being gamers are less likely to be hired. Judgment aimed at it being a lazy hobby. I am now a head chef and my pastry chef is an avid gamer and very reliable. Do you think this stigma will ever go away or is it here to stay? Thanks, Tender Stems. Thanks, Tender Stems.
Thank you, Tender Stems.
Trevor Price, I've never really heard of it sort of directly affecting people's work or being hired. Mm. I know that there obviously is a stigma, and I'm sure that some employers probably make hiring decisions based on things that they shouldn't do, and on paper they would never admit to it, but it happens. It clearly happens in places. It wouldn't surprise me if people were making those decisions and not kind of saying it. But the fact that you know that this is something that happens in your industry is a bit of a surprise to me, really. It's kind of a known issue. Whether it's in the workplace or it's elsewhere and it's, you know, parents or, you know, politicians or people on the news, I think the stigma that has affected video gaming certainly is already better than it was in the 80s and 90s, and I think essentially it will dissipate over time as older people die.
I have written, these people are dying off.
Yeah,
that's my first line.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because generally speaking, most people, at least in the Western world, probably play a bit of video games growing up, even if it doesn't turn into their big hobby. I think they understand the appeal. You know, everyone's played a bit of Mario Kart, for example, and maybe FIFA and stuff like that.
Wii Sports.
Yeah, exactly. So anyone born from probably about...
Full stop.
Anyone born from probably about 1980 onwards has probably, to some extent, played video games growing up. And, anyone born before then, they're dying off. Mm. And those post-80s children are becoming adults who probably don't look at video games in the same way that people older than them do.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
There's always going to be some people who are a bit snobby about it. But.
And it doesn't mean that you can't make a joke at your own expense. Like, you know, I'm not saying that it's our joke that only we can make as people who play games. But there is, it's a stereotype, but that's it.
Yeah.
And there are people who genuinely can't move for video games, but those people have addiction issues, and that's an entirely separate ball of wax. That's nothing to do with the games, albeit, as we've spoken about numerous times, some games do have intentionally predatory practices that people do fall foul of. But largely, it's, you know, addiction issues are addiction issues, and to be actively discriminated against for playing video games is very bizarre.
Yeah,
I don't know, as Trevor refers to it as his industry, it may well be something, because a lot of industries have their sort of, not dirty secrets, but things that are kind of kept quiet and not spoken about.
Yeah,
I can speak not as a professional wrestler, but certainly from the numerous anecdotes I've heard about professional wrestling, people have to quote unquote pay their dues. And sometimes they are intentionally hurt in matches, you know, right. That like you're meant to be able to obviously trust the person that you're wrestling against. Yeah. And if the other person takes things too far intentionally to teach you a lesson, you, if you are young and new to that industry, you can't speak up, or you, no one will want to work with you. You won't get booked. No. So you, there's that kind of stuff that goes on. And I'm sure that this kind of discrimination probably exists in practically every close-knit, hardworking, insider sort of exclusive industry. You know, chefs have to work very hard and they have to be very skilled. And I'm sure that there are bonds that form there that people don't want to be threatened. Mm. But to... there are about 3 billion people worldwide who say that they've played games, roughly. Yeah. I don't know how that survey was carried out, but apparently that's roughly the number. So to discriminate based on that is very silly.
Yeah, it's like, it is.
You have a subscription to Netflix. Well, you're clearly lazy, aren't you? Don't you dare come into my kitchen or my swamp.
If yes.
Shrek was the chef. Mm-hmm. Shref.
Yes.
And that is where I will end my point.
Okay. Well, I think that was a very good way to put it.
Thank you.
It's time for another section now. It's one we've never done before. Oh, we've been Ashton. Waiting till Ashton is not here to do it because I don't really want to share. It's called...
You better not do it when I'm gone next week.
No, we won't.
God. Yeah.
I promise. Well, we'll see if she's even in. I don't know what the podcast situation will be next week. Mm. We'll find out. It's called What We Play In.
Ooh. It's what we play in time. Time to talk about what we've been playing. Peter, what have you been playing?
I've been all over this week.
Have you?
I have. So I've played a little bit more KO the Kangaroo. Mm. I've only been doing that in small... Basically, what I've been doing is playing it on stream for 2 hours. And then before the next stream, I play like just the next sort of 15 minutes, half hour, so that I sort of know what's coming up in my stream. And then when I stream again, I go back to where I was, sort of thing. So I'm not playing off camera and keeping that progress. I'm just seeing. I'm having a little spy at what's coming up.
A little sneak and peek.
A little sneak. Yeah, exactly.
Sneak and poop.
So I've been continuing to do that. Wow. This was actually when I was playing on stream rather than playing at home. But I finally lost my patience with that game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. For the second time on stream, I found myself in a situation where I could not progress through the level because of a foolish, just frankly badly designed system where you have a finite number of usable items that allow you sometimes to progress through puzzles. So I got to this puzzle where I was in this big lake and I had to carry this crystal thing to get to the door on the other side. There was like a jetty and then a lake and then a jetty and a door.
Okay.
Needed to take the crystal to the door, but I couldn't take the crystal over the water because it's a big, heavy crystal. So I had to use my freezing powers to freeze the lake. I picked up a freeze charge, as it's called. And before I froze the lake, I saw, there's a little side area over there. Mm-hmm. That also requires a freeze charge to get into probably a secret area where I can pick up one of the letters of my name or something like that. How exciting.
Okay.
So I did that. I used the freeze charge over there because normally when you do that, when you get into the secret area, it then gives you a freeze charge back again. So you're back to where you were.
Right.
Went into the secret area, got the stuff, no freeze charges. Okay. What do I do now? And I was stuck in this lake area and I just couldn't freeze the lake anymore. So I had to restart the level.
Brilliant.
Just terrible design. Really, really bad.
I don't understand how that happens.
No, because if you've got that... I said this, I was ranting in the stream. I said, like, if you have a system in your game where there are these finite resources, you need to say to yourself, right, I'm going to draw a flow chart of, like, where the player can have picked these up, where they can have spent them, and what the minimum number that they might have at this point is. So if they're able to reach this point in the game and they have zero and need one to get through that door, I need to think of that and have one there. There's even objects in the game that give you infinite ones. They let you like fill up your ammo up to full, but you just don't see them that often. Mm. So it was just, I was livid. I might not continue on next week.
How far through do you think you
are? Well, that's what it's going to come down to. If I've got like one, maybe two streams worth left, I'm just going to finish it. But if it's three or more, I'm not playing.
You're out. You're tapping out.
Yeah. So played a bit of KO. Got mad on it, playing it on stream. I golfed with my friends.
Did you?
The other day, yeah.
Amazing.
Just some friends I've not played games with in a long time. And we said, hey, should we golf?
You want to golf with each other?
Yeah. So I did. And then I played one other game. But it's my answer to question big discussion.
Okay.
I might just leave that for now. But I played a certain game for a certain reason, which we will come to in the BD.
So, of course, the BD.
Ben, what have you been playing?
I've also played a few things. I finally had some time because unlike some people, Ashton Matthews, James Jenkins, who stayed the full weekend for the summer party, you left Friday evening. A few other people left Friday evening. Mm-hmm. I stayed one Friday night on a bed that was too small for me and I could feel every spring in my spine.
Yeah,
it was like sleeping in a tomb. I'm very grateful for the accommodation, obviously. And I don't want to sound ungrateful because I had a fantastic time.
No, but it was a comically small
bed. I didn't fit on it. Like my feet were hanging. You saw it. My feet were hanging off the end of it. It was not an ideal situation for such a long boy. And
it was narrow as well.
Yes, it was also very narrow.
Yeah.
And in fact, the entire room was sort of the width of a bed that I would consider acceptable. Yeah. But there were two beds in there somehow. Mm. And so I was counting down the time on my phone. I couldn't sleep anyway because certain members of the Cultaholic team, for some reason, had chosen our Triple Jump caravan to stay up and drink in. And they were being extremely loud and throwing food around. And if you've heard about what happened at the Christmas party, let's just say the people who threw food at the Christmas party also threw food around at the summer party because that's seemingly something that they do when they're drunk.
I did not know this.
So it was extremely loud until like 2 or 3 a.m.
So you'd gone to bed.
I went to bed at like midnight.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they were still doing it. And then Kieran came to bed a little after. Alex, one of our video editors who edits all of our ranked lists, and James stayed up with them for a bit. Mm. And then they couldn't get back into their caravan because Jack had wandered off with the key. Then those who couldn't get into their caravan because of Jack started ranting and raving to like a ludicrous level, like so seethingly, furiously angry.
Oh my God. Like,
Jesus Christ, he'll be back soon, I'm sure. They then left to try and get in. James locked the door because he was like, I'm going to bed. And then they came back, started hammering on the door, and they wouldn't stop until they were let back in. So basically, I couldn't get to sleep for ages. Then I eventually drifted off, but it was super uncomfortable. Every time I rolled over, I just went into the wall that was next to it. Because I had to wake up to roll over because otherwise I was just going to fall out of the bed. I checked my phone like every hour from about 4:30 until I deemed it a reasonable enough time to get up and just go outside.
Yeah.
So as soon as it hit like 7:15, I grabbed my book, I put on some sun cream, I headed out to the beach and I read my book.
Yeah.
And I just needed to get out of there. But the main purpose of that was to be ready to leave in the morning on Saturday. Because I'd packed for two nights.
Right.
And I thought, you know what? I saw the bed and thought, I'm not sleeping in there for two nights.
Yeah.
So I managed to get home for like a pretty reasonable time, like lunchtime on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then I had like for the first time in weeks, I had a day and a half where I had nothing on and I could just play games.
Excellent.
It was really nice. So I finished Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Nice.
Which was very fun. And it is an excellent game. And with the, I really picked a good time to finish it with the announcement of the second one, or the confirmation of the second one. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Then I played through the Yuffie DLC called Intermission, which was the main purpose of me playing it through anyway. And that was fun, bite-sized, sort of 2.5 hours long thereabouts. Had some side quests at the start. You bump into a couple of characters from the main game. There's a bit in the original game where you go to Fort Condor, which has a massive, great big condor nesting on the top of a reactor, and the Shinra forces are trying to take it, and it becomes an RTS where you deploy troops and units to stop their advance up the hill.
Yeah,
and they've adapted that into sort of a board game that you can play against a few people in this DLC. And I was able to sort of brute force it by just choosing loads of the cheapest units and forcing them down one avenue to destroy the other enemy's base. But that was quite cool to see. It was a bit melodramatic, and they included a couple of characters that I wasn't expecting to see that I don't really give a crap about, and I think might complicate it to almost Kingdom Hearts levels,
right?
Where just sort of additional characters that were introduced in side media are now part of it, and I'm not sure how keen I am about that. But seemingly people were excited when I Googled them to try and find out who the hell they were. I played a little bit of WWE 2K22, and I got incredibly frustrated because I was playing through the male career mode, and the last thing I needed to do was win the WWE Championship. And in order to do that, I had to win the Royal Rumble. But because of the decisions, apparently, that I'd made in a storyline, I had to come in at number two and outlast everybody else to win.
Oh my God.
And there are 30 people in a Royal Rumble. And that is RNG the game.
Yeah.
Because you can be eliminated for seemingly no reason at any point. Mm-hmm. And it's entirely luck-based. So when I was Googling it furiously, a lot of people were like, it was fine. I had no problem. But I was trying to eliminate people, and it was like a flip of a coin to decide whether or not they would counter that attempt.
Yeah.
And if they counter it, you go right out.
Brilliant.
Doesn't matter when you do it. It could be you could be on the last guy. They could just counter and send you flying right out. Doesn't matter. So that was rubbish, but I did eventually do it. And the last thing I played is Alan Wake.
Oh yeah.
Which I have now started. I've played two chapters of that. It's episodic, which I didn't realize, which is actually quite nice because it breaks it up nice and easily.
Not too spooky for you.
Not too spooky for me. It's definitely heavily inspired by David Lynch stuff.
Yeah.
In fact, they wear their references on their sleeves so much that they actively call people out. Like, it's just like Alfred Hitchcock's The Crows or The Birds or whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah.
And I can't decide whether the writing is a bit rubbish or whether it's intentionally meant to invoke feelings of uneasiness and weirdness like David Lynch's work, like Twin Peaks. I'm erring more on the side of it's a bit 2009. It feels very Heavy Rain in a lot of places, like very awkward video game kisses animated strangely and writing that's a bit hokey and weird. I can see why it's really popular, and it does have some genuinely unsettling moments, and I'm really glad I'm playing it because I am enjoying it and I'm looking forward to the sequel. But as someone who didn't play it through when it came out, it's showing its age just a bit. So yes, but it's good though. I'm liking it.
Okay.
I have a plug though.
Yes.
Because a documentary I did the voiceover for is out this week.
That's right.
In the UK only, and it's I think they're looking for distribution elsewhere soon. It's called Golden Era, all one word, and it's a feature-length documentary about GoldenEye 007, the rare... Oh, no, it wasn't rare, was it?
Yeah, it was rare.
The rare classic, I should know. The rare classic game. I found it super informative. I saw an early draft of it a few months ago, and it's got interviews with like loads of the developers, including Dr. David Doak, the legendary Dr. David Doak, and a couple of names that went on, obviously, to do Time Splitters, which we're huge fans
of. Pierce Brosnan.
But it has Pierce Bronholm in it. No, it has a clip of Pierce Bronholm being interviewed on Jimmy Fallon in it because they talk about the game.
Yeah.
But it's really fascinating. It's on Prime Video, Apple TV, Sky Store, Rakuten TV, and Google Play. You can rent it or you can buy it. And if you're remotely interested, please do go and check it out. And I think hopefully it should be available elsewhere soon. Mm-hmm. But it is out now if you want to go give it a watch. Just mention that because there's a lot of crossover here. So that's Golden Era.
Excellent.
If you're interested. It's time for question two.
Yeah, Ashton. Maybe you should read it, Ben.
Oh, yeah, I think she's plopping. Michael Milan asks, I used to always play video games on normal difficulty because I felt this was the standard. As I've gotten older, I find myself leaning more towards easy at times. Maybe my childhood skills have drifted. Maybe my patience is just different. I don't know. What difficulty do you normally play games on? And has this changed over time?
Thank you, Michael. I always now play games on easy / even story mode if story mode's available. I don't always pick story mode, but I will always pick easy at least, at most.
At a minimum, yeah.
And sometimes take it further to story mode. That's partly just because I feel like I don't really have time to be playing any game that's going to require, you know, a few sort of restarts and go overs and things. I'd rather just be able to. I'm not bothered whether I literally do it in one, but yeah, I don't want to get stuck on anything basically. I simply do not have the time. But I always used to pick until, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I would always pick normal straight out of the gate. Even with a game, say a sequel came out for a game I was good at or familiar with, you know, like if Tekken 6 came out, for example, and I'm like, oh, I'm all right at Tekken. I would never like stick it up on hard mode. I would just play normal first time round, and then only after that would I increase difficulty. Or like Halo, for example, I would always pick normal. Mm. And that partly comes from that, as Michael says, I think it's just standard. It's probably sort of the kind of intended experience on the part of the developer. But also because I remember a time, and I've said this before a long time ago on the podcast, and I can never think of examples of where this is the case, but I can think of a time where me and my friends we were sort of aware that there were some games, if you played on easy mode, you wouldn't necessarily get...
Time Splitters 2.
Was Time Splitters 2 one?
Yeah, it cut off entire levels and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, that was
like,
one, actually.
Latter
yeah.
portions of levels.
You wouldn't necessarily get the full experience. And sometimes it would even... In the same way that nowadays, playing on like super hard mode will give you like a bonus ending, there have been games in the past where if you play on easy mode, you actually get less than the normal ending. Mm. And so that was a main reason why I would always play on normal, is because I didn't want to like have stuff taken away from me by the developers. I guess, you know, maybe in the case of Time Splitters, they're not taking segments away from you because they're like, oh, well, if you're playing on normal, you don't deserve it. You're playing on easy, you don't deserve this. I think it's more they were trying to make it easier for you. But yeah, so that was always the reasoning for me. Just play the intended way. But now I have to play easy. But fortunately now, tends to be that that's still the full experience. It's just simpler. What about you, Ben?
Depends on the experience I'm trying to go for. So if I'm replaying something, as with Final Fantasy recently, I stuck it on easy because I've played it before. I've also, in this particular instance, played it on the hardest difficulty for the trophies, and that nearly killed me. That was not a fun experience. That was just a... why am I doing this to myself kind of experience. Mm-hmm. I will obviously play games on a much harder difficulty if I'm going for trophies. Normally, I will pick normal. But in the case of when I'm coming to a game very late that I just kind of want to get through, or if it's a big game, again, for a time-saving goal, much like yourself, I will put it on the easiest difficulty. So Alan Wake, I'm playing through on easy because I don't want a challenge. I want to experience the game. When I eventually play Horizon Forbidden West, I will likely put that on because I imagine that probably has a story mode difficulty. I don't know if I want that, but certainly I'll probably play it on an easier difficulty just because while I want to be challenged a little bit, that is not what I'm playing the game for. When I stream games, unless I'm doing a challenge run for a trophy like I did with the Outer Worlds, where my last trophy was to play it on the hardest difficulty, which was terrible, I universally put the games on easy because I want it to be interesting for people to watch.
Yeah.
And not that I doubt my abilities when it comes to playing games. I just don't think I can foster a fun environment if I'm getting frustrated or if I'm dying over and over
again. Or if you're just having to concentrate more, you know.
Yeah, I can't talk. And I know that there are streamers who do that very well. Mm. But that's, you know, we're not streamers. No. That's not our main job title. It's just something that we do in addition to our daily duties. So that's not what it's for. Someone resubscribed actually on my stream last night and said, I don't think they intended for it to be accusatory, but it did come across a little bit that way, where they sort of said, why do you always play these games on easy? You should at least put it on normal. And it was like, are you flipping? Well, firstly, I explained the same thing I just explained now.
Yeah.
And secondly, have you seen how buggy WWE 2K22 is? I won a 2-on-1 handicap match last night, which was a giant pain in the ass because the reversal system is bad in that game. And every time I countered one person, the other person was there waiting to start hitting me again. Mm-hmm. And then I beat them and it crashed. So I had to do it again.
Okay.
I have absolutely no interest in playing that on normal. Well, thank you very much.
Even if we didn't have the reasoning that you've just explained, that, you know, it just makes it a better streaming experience for everyone. Like, no matter what the reasoning, and as you say, I'm sure they probably weren't actually trying
absolutely
to be
not.
Funny
I'm sure.
About it.
I'm sure they weren't.
But just broadly speaking, I don't think anyone should gatekeep difficulties or gatekeep games and say you're only really playing this if you're playing it on normal or playing it on extreme mode or whatever.
I have all the respect in the world for people who are doing that.
Yeah, of course.
I hope you enjoy that, but much like you, I find my time is becoming more and more finite on this earth and also week to week to play games. So I'm here for a fun time, not a long time.
Mm.
And increasingly I like to think that I choose normal most of the time, but increasingly the brackets under which playing on easy, you know, things fall, you know what I'm trying to say, English words.
Yeah.
I'm playing more and more games on easy for a wider variety of reasons now than I used to.
Yeah.
And that's purely because of time constraints or because, as with Alan Wake, it's a game that, you know, it's over a decade old. And if it was the pop culture zeitgeist at the time, in the moment, playing it with everyone else, I probably would put it on normal.
Yeah.
But because it's a game out of time now, who cares?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, does it? I just want to see the story and play through it and see if I like it for when the sequel comes out. So, yeah.
That's the other thing, though, what you say about the zeitgeist thing. Like, if there's a game that comes out that is clearly going to be the one that everyone's going to be talking about for a while, I don't always go through with it, but I'm sometimes tempted to put it on normal so that when discussing it, say for a Quipscope or, you know, just here and now on the podcast, I'm able to at least talk about, oh, I think this game's difficulty spike is too steep, or, you know, like you can compare it to the normal difficulty. If I'm playing on story mode and then most of the conversation online is, man, this game's really hard, then I'm not really able to comment on, you know, that main topic of conversation. So,
I had to, very rarely do I have to actively lower the difficulty when I don't want to, but I did do that with Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, because despite being a Soulsborne fan, I just couldn't get on with the combat. I didn't find it very fun, and I found it particularly frustrating because I was using a lightsaber, and it didn't make sense to me that enemies were hard to beat when I had a lightsaber. So having to, like, dodging is understandable, but you know, we've spoken ad nauseum about the pitfalls of Fallen Order, but I was just irritated that some enemies took a lot of hits with a lightsaber to kill, and that was really frustrating me. And obviously, because of its Metroidvania design, there are some enemies you're meant to come back to later, and I didn't like that because I didn't
really
want to play a game like that. I wanted to kill it then, and it was my own fault for repeatedly bashing my head against a wall to the extent where I was like, I know I can beat this thing.
Yeah.
I'm just going to put it on easy and have done with it and just get through this game.
Yeah, I did that. I think that probably marks around the time that I started playing games on easy mode and story mode for the sake of speed, because I sat down and I probably didn't make the decision with Fallen Order based on time I had in the day. It was probably because I didn't want to play a semi Soulsborne, you know, Souls-like game.
Yeah.
And also because it's been a very long time, if ever, that I've played a game where you encounter a boss and you're supposed to come back later. So when I encountered, what's he called, Ogdo Bogdo?
Oh yeah, that was it. It was literally Ogdo Bogdo.
He's like in the second level.
You got a lightsaber.
Yeah. And I started fighting. I was like, why can't I beat this like first boss? It's just a frog. And so
it's just a frog.
So I
trained Jedi.
Just an innocent frog. So I thought, well, clearly something's wrong here. Clearly the combat system I'm going to struggle with in this game. Not even necessarily understanding that, no, you're supposed to come back later to this. So I just stuck it on easy mode, killed the frog that everyone else complained about for weeks and weeks on social media. And then,
is it a failing of the game? Is it a failing of the player? Ultimately, it doesn't matter, because accessibility features have come an awful long way. We've come from Time Splitters 2, them taking out portions of levels because they're like, screw it, that'll make it easier, just make it shorter, to providing difficulty options for people who find the game challenging, who don't have enough time. I mean, story mode is for both of those perfectly.
Yeah.
People who don't have enough time to have the headache of retrying areas, and people who genuinely just very much struggle with it for whatever reason. So yes, I think the answer is it varies. I like to think I choose normal, but increasingly I'm choosing easy.
Yeah. That was almost a big discussion, really, wasn't it?
It was. Probably could have moved that up a bit, but never mind. It's time for something a little strange.
Yeah.
I would call it Where Nows.
I'll call it that too. Weird nails.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's weird news time. Time for some weird video game news. First up, though, we need to shout out our podcast producers. If you go to patreon.com/teamtriplejump and support us at a certain tier, you can become a podcast producer and get a shout out right here in Weird News. And because we didn't have a fake sponsor at the start, I should also say that if you want to submit a question to this show, $1 a month, it's nothing. You're not even going to notice it's gone.
No.
You get access to the question post for this. We have tons of other tiers available, including the After Dark podcast that's exclusive to Patreon, where we can swear and talk about anything that isn't to do with video games.
That's
a good one. You should listen to that or support us on Patreon and become a podcast producer. Who we got, Peter?
We've got Nathan.
G.Y. Goliath.
Sean Legg.
Corey Duffel.
Janet Wicks.
Ellie Nicholas.
Erica Hutchinson.
Melody L. Bonnet.
Katie Jarrett.
And Gabrielle Philippink. Thank you so much.
Thank you, podcast producers. Janet Wicks asked us why we say Janet Wicks the way we do on.
Yes.
On
but she said that she enjoys it anyway.
Good. I'm glad she does.
Wicks. Also, if you want to submit some weird news to us, keep an eye on our social media channels. We usually ask for them on a Tuesday.
Yes.
So comment underneath and we might use it.
This is a story that was submitted to us by Stephen Skodes. Mm. It's from Eurogamer.
Or Our Gamer. Us a gamer.
If you want to get serious about this, it's written by Ed Nightingale, who says, Tekken 2 accidentally priced at $10,000 on the PSN store. Little quote here, little subheading in quotes for some reason. What a marvelous price, Sony. Good. So here we go, Eurogamer.net.
Yes.
Tekken 2 was accidentally priced at almost $10,000. Oh, it's just opened an ad. Thank you. Just covered up what I was reading.
Eurogamer.
On the PSN store, catching the attention of Tekken director Katsuhiro Harada. I think I said that right. Oh, no. It's Katsuhiro.
Oh, that's embarrassing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cut that, James.
Yeah, just cut it all out. The PS1 Classic Fighter has been added to the store as part of the PS Plus subscription. But as Twitter user the KB Gamer spotted, the game was incorrectly listed as costing $9,999.
Oh, dear.
Harada shared the tweet joking, quote, "What a marvelous price, Sony." So it was a quote, actually.
Oh, there we are.
Presumably, he would have Tekken quite the bonus at that price.
Well, I doubt he gets a direct cut. Does he still work?
No idea.
Who knows?
It's then got an embedded version of the tweet. "What a marvelous price, Sony," he says in all caps. The US launch of PS Plus has added dozens more games to the subscription than what was available to users in Asia. We've got the full list of games right here. Mm-hmm. Hyperlink.
Thank you.
Europe will need to wait a little longer for access. It launches here on the 23rd of June. Well, this is a dated article, along with Australia and New Zealand. Meanwhile, in Tekken news, Tekken 7 recently became the highest-selling game in the series.
Get all those keywords in there.
With 53 million copies, and there's a link to their other article, and that is the end.
And then there's a paragraph at the bottom that just says, Tekken, 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 new PlayStation Plus, new PlayStation Plus, Tekken, Tekken, Tekken. Can't shoo hero.
Thank you, Ed Nightingale at Eurogamer, for that story. And thank you, Stephen, for sending it in.
Yes, thank you very much. My news comes from Lloyd Williams, although I grabbed it quite early on, so a few more people may have submitted this because it is a good, weird news.
Right.
This comes from Kotaku. I believe it might have been originally posted by Nintendo Life, given the numbers that I saw attached to their tweet.
Random
when I saw it originally. But nonetheless, here's the Kotaku version from Isaiah Colbert. And the headline is, WWE superstar John Cena kept asking Nintendo for a new 2D Metroid and then got it.
Are you sure about that?
Are you sure about that? Apparently, outside of being a 16-time WWE World Heavyweight Champion, a surprisingly decent rapper, and occasionally intangible to the human eye, John Cena is also a huge mark for the Metroid series. Hey, come on. He's also the guy. I've actually seen it. It's really good. Why can't I think of it? That superhero. Peacemaker. He's also Peacemaker.
Peacemaker. Does he rap?
Yeah, he did a rap.
Surprisingly good rapper.
He did do a rap album. Yeah, in like 2000 and I want to say 4 or 5.
Okay.
It was all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where his theme song's from.
Is it?
From his rap album. Yeah. According to Dan Reichert, the Giant Bomb creative director and former WWE podcast producer, I didn't know WWE had podcasts, but there we are. Mm. Cena told Nintendo representatives he'd love to play a new 2D Metroid game during his 2017 photo shoot for Nintendo's Unexpected Places Switch advertisement. Mm. The kicker? When Metroid Dread came out years later, he was sent a copy, Reichert said on Twitter. Cena's people sent an email back saying, John loves it. Oh, the ads. Krista Yang, a former Nintendo staff member, corroborated Reichert's tweet, saying he did say how much of a Metroid fan he was. He's a really nice guy. This isn't the first time that the Doctor of Thugonomics has openly talked about his penchant for video games. Back in 2008, Cena spoke highly of his love for old school games like the real-time strategy classic Command & Conquer Red Alert 3.
Good game.
The then WWE champion proceeded to cut a promo of sorts on games like Madden, Tecmo Bowl, and Baseball Stars, saying the game was the very essence for what he stands for, building a huge army and destroying a lot of flip. Kotaku's reached out to Cena for comment. That's it.
What are you expecting him to say to that? But okay.
And then there's some real Kotaku level nonsense. Maybe the Samus Cena appreciation goes both ways, given that in Metroid Dread, one of her new abilities, Phantom Cloak, allows her to pull off a you can't see me of her own.
What, just go invisible?
Sure, I could be reading too much into things, but tell me with a straight face that, come Cena's return to the ring, you wouldn't lose your flip if he added transforming into a morph ball to his 5 moves of doom.
Wow.
Really just went full Kotaku at the end there,
yeah,
didn't it?
So I did see this story and I saw people tweeting, if there's a game in development hell you really want to be made, just get your local John Cena to talk about it. And maybe you'll get... Yeah.
Do you reckon he'll have a chat about Beyond Good and Evil 2?
Hmm.
I really would love a new Beyond Good and Evil, Eve.
I really, really
My
would
My good
love.
Friend Eve Guillemot.
Yeah. Get on it, Eve.
There we are. That's weird news. Thank you to everyone who submitted strange news. We've got another question now.
We have. It's from Gregors25, who says, hello, BAP. With Ashton having recently played through Cyberpunk well after its original iffy launch and having a great time, full stop, I was wondering if there are any games that you're glad that you waited to play due to bugs, etc., and likewise, are there any games that you wish you'd waited to play instead of playing them at launch?
Thank you, Gregors.
Thank you very much, Gregors. I'm glad not necessarily due to for bug reasons, but for reasons that will become obvious. I'm glad that I waited on No Man's Sky. I mean, I'm not saying that when I did finally get around to playing it, that I was blown away by it and thought, hell yeah, this was worth waiting for. But I didn't play it at launch. I played it a good 6 months or maybe even a year afterwards. Someone at What Culture gave me their copy and they were like getting rid of it. And I was like, oh, I'll take it, physical copy. And I thought, yeah, this is all right. This is like a lot closer to what I expected the game to be than what it had been at launch. So that was a good move. I struggled, though, to think of games that I wished I'd waited on. I've played games that have had bugs from the beginning, but I can't think of one that sort of ruined the experience by how buggy it was.
Right.
I've not played, and that might partly be because I've not played certain games at launch that probably were ruined by bugs. So, for example, I've played a few Assassin's Creed games in my time, but I've not played most of those at launch. You know, I've not played some infamous games like Batman. Was it Arkham Knight on
PC? PC?
It was on PC
broken,
specifically, yeah. You know, so there are some infamous games that I've just not, I managed to dodge them just by chance. But yeah, I'm not sure about ones that I should have waited on. I don't think there are any in particular. I mean, KO the Kangaroo, maybe. That's probably the closest one.
Yeah.
That's very buggy and needs a whole load of fixes. But that'll hopefully happen in time. But if I'd waited for that game to be fixed, it wouldn't have, again, it wouldn't have been one that blew my socks off if I'd hung around
probably and waited
for the final polished version. But yeah, maybe that's the latest one. What about you, Ben?
Well, pretty much any game that I've played as part of a collection or as a remaster, because that's probably intended at least to be the best version of that game.
Yeah.
So Bioshock 2, when I played that through for the first time, that was part of the Bioshock collection, or the Return to Rapture collection, whatever it was called.
Yeah, I played the Nathan Drake collection. That was my first experience of
yeah, so you'll have had better controls and stuff like that. It was a little buggy, but it was I'd say that was still better than
probably
the original.
Probably
a
better way to play.
More recently, I played Control with all the DLC and I think it had like ray tracing and stuff like that, or maybe a 60 frames mode. I'm not entirely sure when that got the free. Oh no, it wasn't a free PS5 upgrade, was it? You had to. There was a lot of controversy around the time. You had to have like the Ultimate Edition or something to be upgraded. But and then it went on. Plus, maybe that's how I played it. I can't remember. People were cross, though. People are always cross. It might have been that. So that was good. I'm looking forward when I play Horizon Forbidden West. That's going to come with all those patches and updates and the content packs and stuff that we talked about here before, you know, with the outfit mix and match and the respec of skill points and the new game plus and stuff like that. So that'll be a much better version. When I first played through Metal Gear Solid 1, I was grateful for the fact that there were guides out and available.
See, that's a good reason to hang around on some games.
Yes,
sure.
Especially considering that I was playing it on its PlayStation Classic version, which is not the crappy micro console, but rather the digital version that they released for various PS1 titles on PlayStation 3 and PlayStation Portable. And then they also worked on Vita too. So when I first played it through, I think I was playing it on both PS3 and PSP and shifting my save data between the two. And then there was that fight with Psycho Mantis where he unplugs your controller and you need to plug it into controller port 2. No idea how to deal with that. Like I had no idea how to, I knew, and you can change which controller you are in the settings of the emulator, but it still wasn't great.
Right.
And also, how do you call Meryl? Well, her codec's on the back of the box.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I've got a digital version. Can't do that. So I needed a guide. Additionally, Metal Gear Solid 2 and 3 had trophy support and were in HD in the Metal Gear Solid collection on PS3. So that's how I experienced that for the first time. Both Dark Souls and Demon's Souls, while I played Dark Souls at launch and fell off it, and Demon's Souls not too far from launch, when I eventually got round to it, I had the benefit of having a guide and my friend's help. So I'm glad I waited for that. Not that I was waiting for that, but I'm glad that when I played it, that was available. In terms of games that I wish I'd waited on, but realistically never in a million years I would, because I was too excited for them. Fallout 4, bit buggy. And if I'd have waited, the DLC would have been available in some kind of collection, because without fail, apart from Oblivion and Fallout 3, so I suppose only in two games, but Fallout 76 as well, not that I was going to go back to that though, I have long since been done with Bethesda's RPGs by the time the first DLC has come out.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've never gone back and played them because I just have no interest in returning because I'm done.
I was fortunate to not really have any major Skyrim bugs. I'm sure there will have been the odd, you know, person running off into the sky or something like that, but yes, nothing game-breaking, whereas, you know, that was an infamous launch. But I played that pretty much at launch and got away with it.
Yeah, PlayStation 3 was not good for Skyrim at all. The save data just got bigger and bigger, and it took longer and longer to load. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't ideal. Fallout 4 wasn't too bad, but it was, you know, it's no one's favorite Fallout or anything. Borderlands 3 as well. Again, never in a million years would I have waited any longer to play it, but Jesus, those menus did not work. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why they designed them like that. So they eventually patched it to kind of work. And then the PS5 version actually works. So, you know, that's nice. But yeah, mainly just quality of life stuff.
Yeah.
Is the reason that I would wait for those games. But I don't think I would.
You make a good
back.
Point about remakes and remasters as well. Like, I played The Last of Us, the first Last of Us game on PS4. And that was a really nice way to play it, you know, remastered. So I'm sure that game probably worked pretty well at launch. So if I'd played it at launch, I would have had a great time. But yeah.
Just longer load times didn't look quite as nice. Yeah. Didn't run quite as smoothly. So,
but yeah. And you make a good point as well about having the guides available. There's all kinds of games like that, you know.
You play them at launch, or if you're fortunate like we are, sometimes you get games early and you hit a brick wall. You're like, well,
don't know what I'm doing now.
I have no idea what to do at all.
I also got away with it on Reignited Trilogy as well, which was a bit buggy at launch. I think particularly Spyro 3 was the broken one. And fortunately for me, not only did I play them in order, so that one came last and had been fixed a bit by then, but also it's the one I was least invested in. So I was not so disappointed by that.
Yeah.
But so I've got away with it for the most part with major issues.
Lucky.
Yeah. Right.
It's time.
Yeah.
For the big discussion.
The big discussion.
It's big discussion time. Time for the big video game discussion, which this week comes courtesy of Matthew Talmadge, who says, "Hello, Peter, Ben, and Plop. I work in the mental health field, and there has been encouraging research that has shown a reduction in different mental health concerns by playing different video games. An example of a headline within the last year is playing Tetris seemed to help with periods of anxiety. What are some games that you may have found helpful to work through a difficult or distressing time?" Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you, Matthew. This is the question that I alluded to earlier when talking about what we're playing. I am a bit stressed at the moment with we've got our wedding coming up. We are we've been trying to move house, and we may or may not be moving house, and that's stressful. And then, you know, just all the normal stuff on top of that that affects you week in, week out. Just, you know, got work to do, and people in the family are having family issues, all kinds of things. So the other day, I just happened to see on Twitter that there's you remember Wordle?
I do remember Wordle.
Remember Hurdle?
No.
Hurdle, H-E-A-R-D.
Okay.
It would play like pop music, and if you guessed it within like 1 second, you did the best. And then if you guessed it within like 5 seconds, you know, so like you hear like little bits more and more, and you have to guess it as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. Then there were loads of spin-offs of Hurdle, with like specific like genres of music or like from soundtracks and stuff. And there's a Spyro the Dragon, classic Spyro trilogy, Hurdle now. So it will play a track from one of the levels. Okay. You have to guess it as soon as possible.
Gotcha.
Came up on my feed because I think someone I follow had tweeted their result. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll give this a go. And listening to... So I guessed the track. I guessed it within 1 second.
Yeah, of course you did. Expert. Yeah.
Then the following day, I didn't guess it at all because it was a Spyro 3 one. But so not that much of an expert. But
I would have guessed it.
Yeah, you would have done.
I would not have been able to do that.
But I guessed it. And then after that, it plays the whole track for you if you want to just sit and listen to it. It just pulls it from SoundCloud. Someone's uploaded the whole soundtrack. Mm-hmm. And so just for like the next 2 or 3 minutes while I was on my computer doing what I was doing, I had that music playing in the background. And it just immediately made me feel so much more relaxed. And I was like, oh, yeah, I remember those days. And so now I am playing Spyro on PS1. Mm-hmm. I'm emulating it at home. And I've just been playing that. And I've been enjoying myself. And I've been relaxing. And it just gives me like half an hour or an hour a day to kind of forget about everything else and just go back to... I mean, it's a nostalgia trip, really, isn't it? And it's about trying to like put yourself mentally back to a time where you didn't have to worry about weddings and mortgages and things like that. So I'm having a good time with Spyro 1.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm probably going to have a good time with Spyro 2 straight afterwards. I've also, similarly, in the past few weeks, I've been listening to the soundtrack from the first Beyond Good and Evil game as well. Well, I say the first, the only one. And I might go back to that as well. I think a lot of it comes down to music, actually. You know, I had the idea to play Spyro in the first place because of this Hurdle thing. And I'm listening to the Beyond Good and Evil soundtrack, which has some really nice like piano melodies and stuff. And I think it's music as much as anything else, or perhaps more than anything else. So
plays a big role in the new season of Stranger Things as well, if people have seen that.
Right.
Music and its importance mm-hmm. to people's mental health and so on.
Yeah. So there's definitely something to be said for that. So to answer Matthew's question, I would say, you know, all manner of games and particularly their soundtracks are something, you know, that's something that really helps me when I'm bit wound up and a bit, you know, highly strung. I just need to unwind. So I'll boot up any old, like, happy, charming, probably game from my past rather than a current game that you know, is going to help me unwind. I really like the music of Kena as well.
Yes,
I found that very relaxing, so I might even give that a go if I'm still feeling like I want to unwind with some video games in the next few weeks. But so those are mine. What about yours?
I'm specifically going to cite the year 2019, which is when we started this channel, mm-hmm. which was, we were coming off an incredibly stressful year that we had at Vidiots. And I think we've spoken at length about that on other platforms, about how while we had a brilliant time making silly stuff, it was actually really hard.
Both in and out of work.
Yes, for a variety of reasons. And then we moved up here, obviously very grateful for the opportunity that Adam and the Cultaholic lads gave us to start anew. Mm-hmm. And obviously with their guidance and their belief, we're still going today. But to begin with, it was so hard. We were doing everything, for like all the stuff that we're doing now, but obviously we can afford to put out more of it now. We had to do between us. So we would come in on a Monday and we'd both have to write a 2,000 word script and then record it and then edit it each. So we had two lists that were going out. Then we were streaming. Then we were also doing Worst Games that you were editing. And then we were doing the podcast that I was editing. And it was just, there was so much. And then my personal relationship with my ex-girlfriend was breaking down at the time as well. Mm-hmm. And that was dreadful. And it was all just sort of, it sort of culminated in probably one of the worst years of my life.
Yeah.
2019 was awful. And fortunately, despite the fact that when we did the Game of the Year podcast at the end of the year, we both said, wow, there wasn't an awful lot. I feel like we could just populate the top five with the games that were new this year that we played. There was still enough that came out that year that just about carried me through. And I had, fortunately, a very strong support, what's the term? Circle?
Network.
Network, yes. Yeah. Obviously, you here at the office and outside of work as well. And I have my friend who I play games online with quite a lot. So the Game of the Year edition of Borderlands came out. The first one came out that year because obviously we spoke to Patrick Fenn and we did that stream where we chatted to Pat and Mikey Newman, who's the voice of Scooter, and I think one of the writers involved in the game at the time.
He was very nice.
He was lovely, and he's got a fantastic channel about films as well. So playing through that again was really fun, because basically, because I've played that game so many times, it sort of took a back seat, and I was just able to just talk.
Yeah.
Because talking's so important, and that helps a lot. So that came out. Then I think I played through Borderlands, the pre-sequel again, which was part of the Handsome Collection. Then Borderlands 3 came out that year too, and despite its bugginess, and again, I talked about it in the Game of the Year podcast, despite the fact that it frustrated me and wound me up in a lot of ways in terms of their design choices, it was still my Game of the Year because it was that important to me at the time. Then the Outer Worlds as well, which I was able to escape into and really enjoyed. And of course, Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled came out that year, which is a blast from the past that I really enjoyed. And I have one really sad boy memory of staying up late. It was like midnight. I was doing those
Grand Prix,
the daily challenges stuff before I fell off it. And I was listening to sad music and I just had a little cry while I was playing Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled. It was awful. It was a really rubbish time in my life, but those games were there and I point to those specifically as games that helped carry me through a very rough time.
Yeah.
It's so important. You know, it's so important to have not only a support network, but things to distract yourself.
Yeah, it is.
And to help support you through. So I'm glad that, you know, we talk about the stereotypes of games, certainly. And that if what Matthew's saying is true, and I'm sure he's not lying to us in terms of mental health.
Studies
to prove that video games do have a positive effect on mental health in various aspects, then I think that's only a good thing.
Yeah.
And I think we can both vouch for that 100%.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
yeah.
But, you know, if it's not too personal, we'd love to hear how video games have helped or saved you at various points when you've been feeling rubbish. Let us know in the comments. And, thank you so much for watching. You got anything else, sir?
Yeah, no. Well, I was just gonna at the end. It's a reason to be able to get together with people as well.
Yeah.
You know, as much as sitting down and playing something on your own can be just a nice distraction, as you say, it helps you talk to people. If you boot up a game and then while you're playing, you just so how have you been? You know, it's a good opportunity to have a chat to people. So
it is. Yeah. It's they're a powerful force for good, and they're worth making time for, as long as they make you happy and you're not playing something like League of Legends where you get really cross and call people racial slurs and throw your keyboard at your mum. That is a stereotype of a League of Legends player right there.
Yeah.
And that was a harmful negative one, and I apologize. Peter, where can people find us on the internet?
You can find us at Team Triple Jump, everywhere that's worth being. YouTube.com and twitch.tv/Team Triple Jump. That's where all of our video content goes out and our live streams on both of those channels. When we're streaming, we're modded by Lord Brotovich, Trailing Badger, and Mr. Black. Hey, did you know that Amazon Prime comes with a Twitch sub just as part of the bundle? So if you've got Amazon Prime, spend the Twitch sub on us. You'll get all the benefits. We'll get all the dollar, and everyone will be happy. Twitter.com and Facebook.com/Team Triple Jump for video and live stream announcements, video content, actual live streams from us as well on Facebook. Fraser looks after Twitter and Facebook for us and also handles our TikTok, which is TikTok.com/@Team Triple Jump. Me and Ashton did a TikTok the other day. There you go. I'm on it. I've been on it before, but
TikTok superstar Peter
not much
Austin.
Yeah, I didn't even see how that one did actually, but
10 billion views.
If it had done well, Fraser probably would have told us, so maybe it did terribly. patreon.com/Team Triple Jump. You can see all of our Patreon tiers there. You can ask questions on this podcast, you can be a podcast producer, and there are podcast adjacent rewards as well, so have a look. We've got a website which is triplejerk.mup, that's JU.MP, spells jump, as Ashton Matthews says. If you want to go to our Discord, head to triplejerk.mup/Discord. I'll send you right there. We're modded on Discord by Jack, Joe, Tori, and Hollowise. They have the time to do something, but anyone will do it. That's my impression.
That's it. It's a good one.
triplejerk.mup/podcast will take you to the audio version of the podcast if you are watching on video right now. All of our live stream VODs are popped onto YouTube, so go to triplejerk.mup/VODs to get there. We do a Cameo service. If you go to triplej.merp/cameo, it will take you to a little portal page, which can then take you down the internet wormholes to our respective cameos. That's me, Ben Ashton, and James Jenkins. He might sing Limp Bizkit for you.
Yes.
Yeah?
I think he would, actually, with a little... I'm going to cue it up, actually,
okay.
For the end.
So yeah, for the outro. Play us out. And lastly, from me, is our store, which you can get to by going to triplejumpshop.com. You can also follow at triplejumpshop on Twitter to get the latest news and announcements from the store. Oh, there it is. So go and have a look at our merch.
Absolutely. We've got a new shirt coming very soon. Mm. We're in the finalizing stages currently. Why not follow Peter and Ashton on Instagram and Twitter at ThatPeterAustin and at ScrambledAshton, and myself just on Twitter at Confused_Dude. Ashton put out a particularly heart-wrenching video I don't know how she seemed to be doing okay when she was talking to us, but she's put out a video that sort of suggests that she's actually dying.
It's on her Instagram story, yeah.
You go check that out.
Gone by the time this podcast goes out.
Probably. What am I saying? Lists. We do those every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Streams every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Thursday being the joint stream.
Blaze it.
On YouTube. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday being solo streams on Twitch. Worst Games Ever is fortnightly. Friday for patrons of a certain tier. Sunday for everyone else. The podcast is every Saturday. We do shows all the bloody time. Come check them out. Why not leave a 5-star review on your platform of choice? It helps something to do with Al Gore's rhythms.
Why not?
So we talked about the summer party.
We did.
There was an episode of After Dark that came out on Monday this week for patrons of a certain tier.
Just me and Ben.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And we specifically timed this one so that we could do it before we went, before I went away, so there would be three of us.
Yeah.
And then Ashton got plops, didn't she?
Yeah.
Plopvid19. But there is a rules boss going out.
Yes. It's a good one as well. I really enjoyed it. It was edited by our COVID editor, Kieran, before he went away with COVID. And it was really good. It's really good. So it's Super Mario World, the Dance Mat Challenge. So Ben has to play through some sort of made up amount of that game using a dance mat instead of a controller.
It was really hard.
It was really hard, and it was a team effort. And even then,
we did really well.
You'll have to see how well we did.
We 100% completed it. Yeah. Absolutely. Apart from that, though, I believe that is your lot for this week. We've got a really big video coming soon on the channel.
Probably this coming week.
And then another huge video coming after that. I suppose we could say what it is.
Yeah, we should say. There's a chance, depending on how long Kieran is off, it might not be done. Oh, well, Kieran and Ashton, because we need to do some retakes. But it might not be done this coming week. But it probably will. Mm. We'll see. It's 101 video games everyone must play.
Absolutely.
It's really long.
It's a 2.25 hour long video. It's the immense effort of one of our writers, Kat, and Philip, who checked through it all for us, and then Kieran edited the whole thing, and it's 101 games that we, as a team, think that you should play. Now, it's not a definitive ranking,
it's not
number one is better than number 101, it's just 101 games, and it's also only games that are actually accessible on the last two generations of hardware, so going back to the PS4 and the Xbox One.
Because there's no point us saying, you have to play all these games, and most of them being, you know, stuff that's
on the Game Boy or something that
you can't
access. So it has to be on sort of modern consoles. So those are the caveats.
I like how it went to Dreamcast for 101 games you must play.
Yes. Well, I mean, there's some good games on there.
Great Dreamcast games out there.
So that will hopefully be coming next week. And then the week after that, as you know, it's in development. It's in production at the moment because we post about it on YouTube, and that's every Sonic video game ranked from worst to best. Mm-hmm. So some huge videos coming your way very soon.
Really
go subscribe to the channel if you're not already, although I don't know why you wouldn't be, quite frankly, if you're listening to this.
Yeah,
so go do it. Go sort it out. Tell your friends, though, if they like Sonic. Peter, what's the sponsor again this week?
Have you got the link there? It's an actual real sponsor. Well, we're not sponsored, but we're raising money for Planned Parenthood Federation of America in light of recent events that have gone on over across the pond. You can head to bit.ly/TJ charity, all uppercase. It is case sensitive. What did you accidentally nearly write there? Foo.
TJ footage, because that's what's on one of our cards.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I went into, I was just thinking, I need to pick up the cards for the podcast.
TJ Foo Fighters.
Yes, the TJ Foo Fighters.
Head to bit.ly/TJ charity if you would like to support our fundraising. Hopefully we'll have done numerous streams to raise the money, but you can head over and donate whenever you like. So we don't have to be live. And the streams may continue into early next week.
Yes.
This coming week post publishing of this podcast.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Look after yourselves. And James Jenkins is going to play us out now before the actual music fades up. We'll see how much James, when he's editing this, can put up with it before he just fades it out himself.
If it immediately cuts, then you know that he's not
he's
happy
like, nope,
that we've
not
played
doing
this.
That.
That's a different clip.
Yeah, it's further along.
Yeah.
Cheers, everybody. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.